All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is on in the chat. First up, Granite2468 is on. Robin Aroni is on. Those Jesus people is on. JD Joy is on. Golfmaster One is on. Levin Carl 11 is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Adam Lombard is on. Peg McGroin is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Judy Anita is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Sheila K is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Let me see here. K4 VMS is on. Skunk 71 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Aggravain is on. Jersey Dude is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Lots more people here. Dana 59 is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Let me see here. Total G Word is on. Man 26 is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Richard Perry's on. Dr. Hank is on. Let me see here. Mike Griffith is on. Nate Dad already in the rant. Thank you so much, Nate Dad. Appreciate your faithfulness. LEG is on. Let me see here. Sexy Pony is on. Tim LT Bird is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Of course, you know we're going to talk about tonight. All the collusion, hoax stuff. It's tough to actually get back up to date with this. I used to when I was listening to the Dan Bongino podcast, I knew every bit of it. I knew every name. I knew the sequential order. Now it's basically got a deep dive in reverse and see exactly what it is that the Trump administration is alleging, which they're basically alleging what we already all know, which is what Bongino has in, you know, his various books, like it's, Russia Gate is one of his books. Follow the Money is one of them. There's another one too. But anyway, I'm just retracing it, getting back into it and seeing what they have. The release, you know, the releases have not been overly comprehensive because they're not going to release them, which is smart because it's an ongoing investigation. And then what they've done with this now, because you heard like Kyle Serafin go on Alex Jones and said that all of this is a waste of time because he was assuming that they were going to charge him with perjury. I jumped on that too, and that's what I thought, but now I didn't think of it. So here it comes, everybody, vaunted three words. I was wrong. And they're actually putting this into basically a RICO conspiracy. This is a conspiracy. The actual federal statute is a conspiracy against rights. It's including numerous members, including Barack Obama, of the former Obama administration, whether it's Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Biden, Susan Rice, leaving out somebody, Brennan. I think I said Brennan, Clapper, Rice, all those, all of them. But anyway, so we were talking about it before the podcast. What are the odds of people being arrested? I wouldn't put a dollar on anybody being arrested. But I hope that I'm wrong. I mean, I really do. I'm rooting for Trump. I'm rooting these people. Do you need to spend the rest of your life in federal prison? I mean, they really do. This honestly, first of all, Watergate never existed. So comparing it to Watergate is like saying, I'm comparing, you know, a horrible hurricane to a storm that never existed. Because Watergate is another leftist, deep state generated hoax, which I don't have time to get into right now. But if you ever look into it, it's absolutely astounding. Roger Stone does great work on that. But anyway, so this is worse than Watergate because there's really, you could allege some bad things that Richard Nixon did, recording people without their knowledge, things like that. But Trump did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they just created a story. They created a crime that never existed. They investigated a crime using $40 million to do so. And the originating crime never existed. Basically, what they did was create the living domestic embodiment of a false flag. This nothing ever happened with this. There was no crime. So basically, they like formed like a cake out of like whipped cream. There's no body to it. There's nothing. And then showed everybody that there was a cake there, but there was never actually a cake. There was never anything. And they all knew it, which is in and of itself the conspiracy against rights. All right, let's go to the first one. MJ Truth Ultra video. Well, look at what President Trump just posted. Play for me.
This is not speculation. This is documented fact. For years, they told us Trump was the threat to democracy, but the real threat was the attempt to remove him. On December 9, 2016, inside the Obama White House, a classified meeting took place. Present were CIA Director John Brennan, DNI James Clapper, FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, and several senior officials. Barack Obama was there, and what they discussed would become the most coordinated political deception in U.S. history. Just days earlier, an internal intelligence community report concluded Russia had not altered the outcome of the 26th election. On December 7, DNI Clapper reaffirmed it. Quote, foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on critical infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential election outcome. End quote. But that wasn't the story the Obama administration wanted. So after that White House meeting, Clapper's executive assistant sent out an email. The order, prepare a new intelligence assessment, one that aligned with the president's request. That's right, intelligence was politicized at the highest levels under the direction of a sitting president to frame the incoming one. They buried prior reports, they inflated the Steele dossier, they reversed conclusions, and they launched the January 6, 2017 intelligence community assessment, used to trigger investigations, media hysteria, FISA warrants, and ultimately, impeachment. It was a soft coup. Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has now declassified the emails, memos, and reports. In her words, this was a treasonous conspiracy orchestrated by Barack Obama and carried out by key members of his administration. General Flynn calls it the greatest crime in American history. Others are demanding arrests, indictments, and immediate action from the DOJ, because if this stands, our constitutional republic falls. We now have names. We have documents. We have sworn testimony. No more theories, only accountability. My friends, we are all anonymous, and we speak for the silenced, and we are awake, and we are everywhere, and we will not stop until the truth is reckoned with.
Again, just back onto the arrest thing here. I mean, I get it, and I like the report, we're not arrest, and this, you know, the whole thing, and I hope that it's true, but this has been going on for a long time, but the Republicans refuse to cross the red line. They just, over the years, I mean, how many of us, when you had, just using the 2020 election as an example, there was plenty of evidence that that election was stolen. Plenty of evidence, and then you'll hear that it was brought before all these courts, and all these courts found that there was no election interference. That's blatantly wrong. Trump actually won about 70% of his court cases that were heard. Most of them were dismissed for lack of standing, which makes no sense because it's a corrupt judicial system. But anyway, the gist behind that is what we just saw from MJ Truth Ultra is that you had this. Now, remember, this is in December of 2016. The election's already done. It's already won in early November by Donald J. Trump. So this is a month and a half later, roughly, and they're coming up with a way to use the existing deep state, even when Donald Trump takes office, to dethrone Donald Trump, to impeach Donald Trump, to arrest Donald Trump, whatever it may be. So, but keep in mind, this had already been going on. This collusion hoax had already been going on for months and months and months and months and months before that. And most people believe into somewhere in early 2015, this had already been going on. So you're looking at the collusion hoax had already been taking place. We look at like Stefan Halper, the contact with George Papadopoulos, all of the stuff happening with Flynn, all those things. Those were all happening prior to this. And then the Flynn, they took out roughly right, you know, a month or a month and a half after this. They took him out, but they were already, you know, priming the pump, already setting him up long before this. So what happened specifically in this meeting, though, which is, I mean, and I don't want anything that, but what I don't want is what usually happens is everybody, and I'm not talking about us, those of us who are red-pilled, I'm talking about those that are in Washington, D.C., and of course the media, including the right-wing media like Fox News. They end up focusing on one specific aspect instead of going back to this intel op run by John Brennan and James Comey for 2 years prior to this incident. Because that's what, I mean, you got to go all the way back. There's way more offenses than this, but this one is, specifically outrageous, but there's ones that are equally outrageous as this. Where what you have here is James Clapper comes in and he says, the DNI at the time, he comes in and says, there is no evidence that Russian interference had any sort of impact on the election results. That's what he said. Okay, it's written down. It's official documentation. This is how stupid these people are. Again, you only have two choices when you're dealing with every single Democrat. They are either corrupt or stupid. That's it. And the only other option would be C, all of the above. That's it. There is no other option because they are documenting their corruption via email and text messages on government accounts and on government phones. So Clapper comes in and says there's no Russian interference that had any impact on the results of the election. As a matter of fact, let me just tell everybody this outright just so everybody knows. And if you've watched this podcast, you already know what I'm about to say. There was no Russian interference at all. I mean, again, it's just like COVID. It's just like climate change. It's just like systemic racism. There is none. There's nothing. If there's anything, there's systemic racism against white people. That, I mean, it's all set up against white people. So there is no systemic racism against black people. That's not happening. I'm not saying it never happened. I said it's not happening. But yet it's still falsely claimed throughout the Democratic Party. But anyway, so there is none. Okay, so don't fall back on the Ted Cruz kind of lines where we all admit, no, Ted, you as a cuck boy for Israel, you admit it. I don't admit it. We all admit that the Russians interfere in elections. They didn't. I mean, you're looking at, you know, I don't know what Russia's GDP is. I mean, obviously, trillions of dollars. They spent a grand total of $250,000 on that election. Not $250 million, $250,000. $200,000 they spent on pro-Trump ads and pro-Hillary ads. That's it. So how is that? Does that qualify as interference in an election? I mean, Hillary Clinton's campaign alone was just shy of $1 billion herself. And they spent $250,000. They spent a quarter of one-tenth of what she spent. So they did not interfere in the election at all. Don't fall back. This is like saying we can open safely. We're talking about COVID. Open safely from what? When you start talking like that, you're admitting that the fraud is real. We can open safely, alone together, together alone. You know, if you do those things, then you're admitting that the originating fraud, the originating false flag is actually real. It's not real. There is no Russian collusion. I mean, there's no Russian collusion. There's no collusion. There's no interference. There's nothing. They don't interfere in our elections, not in any substantive way. Nothing. So Clapper comes in and he says that they did, in fact, interfere, but just not to the level where it had any impact on the results of the election. Now, again, I need to set this up because this is what everybody's focusing on, and I didn't have the time to deep dive back all the way to 2015. I might or I might not. I'm going to see where this goes because I'm not going to spend all of my energy on this to have Pam Bondi do nothing, which if I was rolling the dice right now, I'm betting Pam Bondi does nothing, okay? And Susie Wiles does nothing. This is a great distraction, though. All of us are looking at it. It's great. Nobody's talking about Epstein anymore because everybody's talking about this. That seems to work out really well. And again, I don't think Donald Trump did anything with Epstein either. I don't think he committed any criminal act with Epstein at all, but I believe he's protecting people because there's people that did do things with Epstein and, you know, there's a lot of evidence of it. But anyway, so Clapper says, gives this report in writing, Barack Obama, get this, Aaron, two words, in writing, sends it back saying, I want a different report. In writing. And Obama didn't send it back. Clapper wrote it to all of his minions, all the people working for him, all his intel outfits. We need a different report. And I mean, quote, literally, that espouses what the president believes. Okay, that is the reality of our country. That is the act under Obama, not under Trump, under Obama. Remember now, I was kicked out of Trump now. Remember that. I'm the jilted girlfriend. So I'm out. He doesn't want my support anymore. So I'm going to support what he does, and that's it. But anyway, remember, I'm a past supporter. Right. And all of us past supporters are no longer welcome to support him. So no more rallies, no more, you know, no more paraphernalia for me or anything like that. So I'm out. And I'm happy to be out because I don't want to be sick. I never was, never will be a sycophant for anybody. But anyway, so Clapper sends that out. Sends it out and says, you know what? We need a different report that actually coincides with where the president is at. So write the intel that supports the ignorant opinion of Hussein Obama. That's exactly what happened. Go to the next one for me. Leading report tweet, breaking DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, announces that there are whistleblowers coming out of the woodwork from the Obama administration. Of course. And this is really the way that it could happen. I mean, and I'm hoping that there are arrests, okay? And we need to go ahead and cross the Rubicon. Well, Tom, if we arrest them, then what are they going to do to us? They're already doing it. They're already doing it to us. They've already arrested Donald J. Trump. Everyone realizes that he was, in fact, arrested numerous times. Just because you never saw him perp walk, arrest does not mean a perp walk. Arrest means that you were criminally charged. You were detained and criminally charged. That happened to him numerous times, 34 felony convictions. It happened with Fannie Willis in Atlanta. It happened with the insurrection charges in D.C. and with the document charges in West Palm Beach. So they've already crossed the Rubicon. Everybody does realize that, in fact, Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon were in federal prison, and that Roger Stone was sentenced to 9 years. General Flynn was sentenced to 7 to 9 years, and both were pardoned. Well, they were pardoned completely, but Sidney Powell got Flynn off. Roger Stone was finished. Roger Stone was nine, he got a 9 year sentence for doing nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing. Like, that's impossible. I'm not going to go into it because it's a 30 minute dissertation about our corrupt judicial system. But bottom line is, you will never be tried fairly in any blue state, let alone Washington, D.C. There's absolutely no way for you to be charged fairly. You look at what's happening with George Santos right now versus Hunter Biden. George Santos got a 7 year prison sentence for doing nothing. He has to pay back like $600,000. I mean, he did nothing. It really is nothing. And everybody else, AOC has got $1 million missing out of her campaign funds. There's not even an investigation. But Santos is going to prison for 7 years. Today, and it's not some country club prison either. It's a mid-level of federal penitentiary. Because he was tried in the federal courts in New York. So he has no chance. All right, go to the next one for me. Here's just a little timeline. Screenshot this thing if you don't already have it screenshotted, just so everybody has it. And again, this is just from December of 2016. There's all of November backwards in 2016 and almost the entirety of 2015, this was going on. There's way more than this going on, way more than this. And people are getting fixated on it. It's way more. I'm going to try to illuminate some of it tonight, but I just did not have the time to deep dive all the way back to 2015. All right, creation of the Russia hoax, real intel assessment. Russia and criminal actors did not, here's the intel report, first black box on the top, did not impact, as we said, recent U.S. elections results by conducting cyber attacks on infrastructure. There it is. It's over, right? It's right. Over, yep, right, Aaron?
Should be.
Okay, it's over.
Yep.
Well, no, it's not over. Donald Trump wins 2016 election. So December 8th, POTUS briefing pulled. That's weird, isn't it? It's pulled. Yeah. Hey, there you have Clapper's assessment. It gets pulled. Is Barack Obama out in the field? Like, you know, drumming up contacts, you know, finding, you know, confidential informants, and is he a CIA agent? No, but he pulls it anyway. The Intel Community pulls product that contradicts Russia hoax narrative. They pull it. December 9th, Obama order. IC begins outfitting assessment to claim election was hacked. And we're the election deniers. We're the election deniers. And then you see the media jump on board. These are, and again, I say it all the time, I can't help saying it, the anger just percolates up into my mouth. The absolute Goebbels, Pravda, Mockingbird, disgusting, repulsive Jake Tapper media comes out. U.S. officials, Putin personally involved in U.S. Election Act. Where? Show us that. Did anybody ever see a document? No. It's all lies. Deep state leaks. And again, this is what amazes me, that in March of 2020, any Christian falls for any sort of narrative, any sort of agenda espoused by these people, but everybody did. Everybody did, except for people like you and me. Everybody fell for it. Everybody masked. Everybody vaxxed. Everybody closed. Everybody stood 6 feet apart. You realize that 80% of this country is vaccinated against COVID-19? 80% I've got. Here's my. Look how big it's getting now. This is my vax stack. And I've got to get to it. I mean, more and more stuff. I mean, Edward Dowd, U.S. cancer expenditures and U.S. disabilities inflecting. You should see that graph. And everybody believes these people. These are repulsive people. Trump is surrounded by them, too. Trump is not one of them, but he is surrounded by them. See what a nice, jilted girlfriend I am. Obama officials use their media and propaganda arm to spread fake news. The news, what they did was, now you see it here. They put this news out. So then you have Comey, and Comey wasn't actually in this meeting. It was Andrew McCabe, who was fired for lying. Comey fired for lying. Comey released classified information. Aaron, can you look up how long James Comey has spent in federal prison?
Let me see. None.
Okay, because he did release classified information. Yeah. He got nothing.
Yep.
And remember, Donald Trump had 4 years to do it. Brett's asking before the show, do you think anybody's going to go to jail? 4 years to do it. But at that time now, here's the caveat with that. At that time, Donald Trump had not been persecuted the way that he was. He was persecuted, but they didn't arrest him. And they didn't try to bankrupt him. So he didn't have all the, you know, the four criminal cases and the civil fraud case and the E. Jean Carroll case and all that crap. They all CIA cutout cases. Just like the Alex Jones case, like the Flynn case, like the Navarro case, like the Bannon case. Just like James O'Keefe and everybody else. But anyway, so it, I think because Trump knows now. Alex Jones every day says, I've got to. Alex Jones is like me, although he doesn't say it like I do. He's a jilted girlfriend, too, because he's a past supporter who's no longer welcome to support President Trump. That's what I was told that I am. So, because I just want the release of whatever you have on Epstein. That's all I want. If it's nothing, it's nothing. I just want the release of whatever you have. That's all I want. And you can give me an explanation that James Comey made it all up, because James and Maureen Comey did make it all up. You know, there was an original file, and that's all been replaced with the Comey file, Maureen and James Comey. I understand that. Aaron, I'd like it still released.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a flight log out there. I'd like it released, please. But I'm no longer welcome to support Donald Trump because of that. So, anyway. And Alex Jones says every day, you know what, I've got to have Trump do well, because if not, I've either got to leave the country or be arrested. And that's a fact. They were doing it to him. They're bankrupting Alex Jones. I mean, so that's how horrible these people are. So they put out, what happens is Comey leaks this stuff to the media, whether it's Comey, McCabe, or Rosenstein. They're all running the FBI at various stages of the Trump administration. And Trump didn't know any better. He believes these guys when they come in, they got the perfect haircut and their perfect glasses and their briefcase and their FBI agents who could not handle a shoplifting case. I'm telling you that right now. See, there's another cop in here. He's laughing right now because he knows it's true. They can't. They can't. You think they can. They're the best law enforcement agency in the world. Cops agencies spend millions of dollars sending their cops to go to the FBI Academy to learn how to be inept. Because an FBI agent has no clue how to handle a $30 beer theft at 7-Eleven. No idea. They don't. They're useless idiots, and the FBI should be disbanded. And what Comey did here, Comey, McCabe, and Rosenstein, for sure, we know that McCabe lied on a FISA warrant, and we know that Comey lied on a FISA warrant. I believe Rosenstein did, too. But anyway, so what Comey does is send to the media, leaks to the media that Trump colluded with Russia. So the media reports it. And they all know they're lying. The media knows they're lying, and Comey knows they're lying. And then they use that to file FISA documents, FISA warrants, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants, to wiretap Donald Trump via Carter Page. And what was they used the Steele dossier, and they used media reports. Look, the media is reporting on it. That's what they used to file the warrant. They used the media articles that they fed the media as evidence that this was going on. Look, the media is reporting on it, so we deserve a FISA warrant. That's exactly who these human beings are. And that's why I will never understand how 99% of Christians follow their commands. I don't get it. We're going to follow the commands of do not murder, do not steal, all those things, of course. But mask and vaccinate, I just don't get it. Like, Tom, get past COVID. No, I'm not. Not until everybody repents. I'm just checking now. Aaron, it's been 5 years. Can you check? You could put out all the major ministries that have come out and said they were wrong.
Yeah, let me see real quick.
Aaron's adding up. Here it comes.
Zero.
Okay, zero. Yeah. Got it. Right, got it. Only Chip Roy is the only one I've ever seen come out and said he was wrong. That's it. Aaron, can you get Ted Cruz's statement where he says he was wrong?
Nope.
Okay, I'm just making sure, because Ted Cruz is twice vaccinated too. So anyway, that's what happened. Fake weaponized assessment. Suppressed prior intelligence showing a Russian. There it is. Russian hacked intent and capability to hack the 2016 election. So they did a fake one. They replaced the real one with a fake one. Screenshot that. Listen to this. You can just leave that up for me, Brent or Aaron. Leave that up for me, because I'm just going to. Here's an article out of the New York Post. This is, and I know this is really wonky for some of you, and people want videos and like yelling and screaming. But listen, I am a yeller for sure. Yeller, screamer, sweater, all those things. But I'm actually more of a wonky person than anything else. I want to know exactly what happened. Here's a New York Post article. Gabbard's exposure revealed that both before and after Hillary Clinton's 2016 defeat, members of the U.S. intelligence community concluded foreign adversaries did not, in fact, use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential election outcome. We have, from James Clapper, no evidence. Everybody knows what no evidence means. Of cyber manipulation of election infrastructure intended to alter results. Read other findings drafted on December 7th, 2016. So you have both. But neither of those assessments were placed in the presidential brief. And this is what happens with Donald Trump, too, by the way. There's many corrupt deep staters that hand him wrong presidential briefs every day that espouse an agenda. That's why he got so pissed off about the Epstein stuff, is because they're feeding him lies. Because they come in and they say, you know what? I'm an intel assessment intel assessor, whatever it may be. That's, you know, that's what their employment is. And I'm an expert in all these things. And Donald Trump believes what he reads. Okay, these are the same people. These deep state activists have been, they are deep state Democratic Party activists. The Democrats always want us to believe that they are absolute political activists, political hacks, political sycophants until they enter into government service and then they instantly become neutral. That's what they want us all to believe. Well, we all know that's not true. And that's why Trump has been fed, he's been fed lies about Epstein. Otherwise, just send it out, put out what there is. Under Director James Comey, informed that, let me restart this sentence again, but neither of those assessments were placed in the daily presidential brief after the FBI, under then Director James Comey, informed then Director of National Intelligence James Clapper's office it was going to dissent from the draft's conclusions based on some new guidance. Aaron, new guidance.
Mm, yeah. Of course.
On December 9th, that's Jim Comey, the guy we can all believe, you know. On December 9th, Obama met with Clapper, FBI Director Andrew McCabe, it's Deputy Director, sorry, CIA Director John Brennan, and others in the Oval Office, tasking each to look into Russian election meddling. That's what they did. They looked into the meddling and then gave him the brief on 16 that there was no meddling. And then that wasn't good enough, so he changed it. That's exactly what happens. By the way, all of this, folks, is sedition. You spend the rest of your life in prison for doing these things. These are crimes. This is absolutely crimes. This is obstruction of justice. This is sedition and borderline treason, and really treason. Each look into Russian election meddling in the presidential contest between Trump and Clinton. The administration officials later produced an intel assessment that claimed, so now it's changed, Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. presidential election. Now before, what was it before? Look at the difference now. On December 7th, it was, we have no evidence of cyber manipulation by the Russians. On December 16th, 1 week after, now remember, so you have that on December 7th. See, I know I'm wonky with this stuff. Then on the 9th, you have Obama meeting with Clapper, McCabe, John Brennan, and others like Susan Rice in the office. So he meets on the 9th, and because he doesn't like that assessment. And then lo and behold, on the 16th, we get Russian President Vladimir Putin ordering an influence campaign. So everyone sees, I love timelines. So now you see the timeline from the 7th to the 9th to the 16th. Quote from the intel assessment. Russia's goals were to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process. See, again, vast generalities. That's how the Democrats operate. Insurrection. What was the insurrection? How exactly were they going to overthrow the government on January 6th? Can you tell me that? With no guns. But it's a vast generality. Russia's goal. This is written by the intel community, mainly probably James Clapper and Jim Comey and John Brennan. Russia's goals, somehow they know what Putin said, which of course they don't. They're just making this absolutely just made up. You're like, Tom, are people that rotten? Absolutely. And sleep like babies at night, putting people in federal prison for the rest of their life. Russia's goals were to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process, denigrate Secretary Clinton, of course. But remember now, once these people take office, we're supposed to believe they're politically neutral. Like James Clapper is a leftist activist. So is Comey. So is Clapper, Comey, Brennan, of course Biden, of course Obama are leftists. But when they take office, they become politically neutral. That's what they tell us. But when Republicans take office, they're still political activists. That's what we're told. Just again, Pravda propaganda. Secretary Clinton and Harmer electability and potential presidency. The assessment added, we further assess Putin and the Russian government developed a clear preference for President-elect Trump. How? Not put there. They said clear preference without illustrating how. there is Russia's goals were to undermine public faith. How? There's no details. It's just made up out of whole cloth. The spy chief's findings lean on details dredged up by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, whistleblower who previously told superiors there was no indication of a Russian threat to directly manipulate the actual vote count through cyber means. So that's from the New York Post. Let's go to Carly Bonet. Can Barack Obama claim presidential immunity? Play for me.
Barack Obama be able to claim presidential immunity on this? Can you claim presidential immunity if you're committing a crime?
He might be able to claim presidential immunity for his actions while he was the president of the United States, and they'll have to litigate that, right? It's unclear whether he'll ultimately get presidential immunity for this, but I'll tell you this, it's an ongoing criminal conspiracy, and presidential immunity covers his actions while he's the president of the United States. They don't cover his actions when he's the former president of the United States. And when he's participating in the cover-up of this conspiracy, then he doesn't have presidential immunity. I would say to Barack Hussein Obama, lawyer up, buddy, because your conspiracy after you left the White House could land you in prison.
We're waiting. Mike, we're waiting for those days, and we're ready to rock.
So it's always good to understand the statute of limitations and how they work. So, which I didn't on this, so now I do, from Mike Davis. So when you have a conspiracy, and this one specifically, it's a federal statute, you can pull it up right now on Google, conspiracy against rights. It's very serious, very serious felonious crime. Under a conspiracy, and I love this because it's actually a biblical principle, you're guilty of the crime until you repent of it. And with the moment that you repent of it, the moment that you acknowledge that it's a conspiracy, then the statute of limitation clock kicks in. And then you have whatever the statute of limitations is, 3, 6, 10 years, whatever it is. But none of these people have ever said it was a conspiracy. They're starting to. They're starting to go, according to Tulsi Gabbard from Lead Report. She has whistleblowers coming out the yin-yang that are actually saying, you know what, coming out and espousing whatever it is that they're espousing. I don't know, that hasn't been released, nor should it be released. So that's the thing. So nope, there is no statute of limitations. It's still running. The conspiracy is still running. Nobody has come out and said that it was, in fact, a conspiracy. So he will not be able to claim presidential immunity because he's still participating in the conspiracy. And he left office on January 20th of 2017. So it's still going. So Hussein Obama is eligible to go to federal prison for the rest of his life. And he should. I mean, I want you to think about what was going on here. And I know this is redundant for a lot of you because everybody that watches this podcast is red pill, but you're sitting there and you're having a meeting. There was more than one meeting, obviously. You're having a meeting and you've got, whether it's McCabe or Comey, whether it's director or deputy director, Brennan, head of the CIA, DNI Clapper, you have Biden there too, you got Susan Rice, you got Obama there, and others. And they're having a discussion that the Russian collusion hoax was generated out of the Clinton campaign. They all say it. I mean, imagine this. Aaron and I had a meeting, and we said, you know what? We heard a false rumor that Brent stole $100 out of the offering tray. Now, we have the video, and we know that he didn't do it, and we go ahead and investigate it anyway. That's exactly what happened.
Yep.
I mean, there is no delineation here. There is no other explanation. That is exactly what they did. They knew it was false. They said in the meeting that it was false. Their handwritten notes say that it was false. So that's what they did. They were like, this is made up. We have the whole Hillary Clinton DNC, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC and Hillary Clinton. They hire Mark Elias and Perkins Coie, who then hires Fusion GPS, which is basically a publicity company, to generate a false narrative against Donald Trump. And all of these, by the way, Aaron, you'll be very happy about this, is paid for by us.
Oh, good.
I just wanted you to know, because they're NGOs, all of this stuff. Okay, so I just want everybody to know that whether they call themselves NGOs or not, that's in fact the case. But anyway, so we're paying for our own political demise. But anyway, so you have Hillary Clinton hires Mark Elias. Mark Elias is out there making the rounds right now trying to act like this never happened. Because Mark Elias can see what's coming. And I hope that it's coming. If there's anybody that would actually do this, it is John F. Kennedy Jr. or Donald Trump. I mean, John F. Kennedy Sr. or Donald Trump. That's it. There's one man who's ever stood up against the CIA, shot in the head, JFK. And the next one was his brother, was also standing up against the CIA, but he wasn't president yet, shot in the head. And then, and of course, the people who actually shot him have never been arrested. But anyway, of course. But, and then Donald Trump can do it. And I believe Donald Trump wants to do it. I believe Susie Wiles, though, is a problem. And I believe other people, because they want the political norm. Listen, there's a lot of things that we can accomplish. We really don't need to get mired in the mud. No, you know what? It's time for the swamp to be cleaned out of the mud. It's time for everything to be exposed. Not, you know, we're going to accomplish all these things, add trillions of dollars to the debt, and you're going to have a great record as president. No, the greatest record will be if these people go to prison. And you're like, well, then they're going to do it to us. They've already been doing that to us. We've already been banned. We've already had, you saw in the pregame, Netanyahu going, you guys are regulated on social media? You guys actually have laws against free speech on social media? Yeah, we do. I mean, they're civil and they're private, but, you know, it's just, you know, in my second podcast, I had 900 live viewers on Facebook alone. I have like four right now. Okay. So it's like that is what it is. I mean, so that's the reality of the world. But anyway, you had Clinton hire Mark Elias at Perkins Coie, hired Fusion GPS, which hired Christopher Steele, which hired Igor Danchenko, which gave them the Steele dossier. And then under oath, John Brennan said he never read it. I mean, prosecution for perjury is gone, but not the prosecution for conspiracy against rights, because John Brennan is still making appearances. He's being paid. I don't know whether it's CNN or MSNBC. I can't remember which specific channels these guys appear on, because all those channels are exactly the same and espouse the exact same lies and nonsense. But he's still espousing this as a lie. I mean, and so again, they just meet and they say, this, we all know that this never happened. Now let's launch a $40 million investigation using 40 FBI agents to investigate it. And by the way, again, that's already 2 years into their intel op that they were already doing. That's exactly what happened. All right, so I'm live, you know, Michael Schellenberger. This is, again, and this is wonkish. I'm reading articles, and that's not the most exciting thing to see on social media, but it is what it is. Because I like to know the genesis of things. I like to know dates and times. And that's how you prosecute people, by the way. You don't have vast generalities of like, he's against Trump. Okay, now he's prosecuted. No, you have to have timelines, specifics, and evidence. So from the racket and public, and that's Michael Schellenberger, the United States intelligence community, henceforth called IC in this article, including the CIA, illegally mobilized foreign intelligence agencies to target Trump advisors long before the summer of 2016. Remember, what we're talking about now is the winter of 2016. The new information, this is from an article from years ago, the new information fills many gaps in our understanding of the Russian collusion hoax and is supported by testimony already in the public record. The journalists continue to unravel the espionage scheme to frame Donald Trump. Until now, the official story has been that the FBI's investigation began. Remember this now. Everyone's going to focus on this freaking intel report. And it is, John Brennan's own verbiage, it's part of the mosaic of the collusion hoax. It is not the collusion hoax. Until now, and this again was written like 2022 or 2021. Until now, the official story has been, maybe even earlier, the FBI's investigation began after Australian intelligence officials told U.S. officials that a Trump aide had boasted, George Papadopoulos, to an Australian diplomat that Russia had damning material about Democrat presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. What had happened there was what's called a bump, which you'll hear about here in just a second. They had an intel operative go up to Papadopoulos and say, hey, what do you think of Hillary possibly working with the Russians? And somehow Papadopoulos said something in a sentence or a paragraph or a night about Hillary and Russia. Like, I don't know anything about Hillary and Russia. And by the way, under oath, that's basically what he said. He's proven to be correct. Oh, but Tom, he was found guilty. He had to plea out or go to federal prison for the rest of his life. That's the D.C. court system. It's completely, believe me, convictions do not add credibility to any report anymore. It's over. So that's what happened. You had an intel operative at a bar. They're all drinking. And they go, what do you think about Hillary using the Russians in the election? I don't know anything about Hillary using the Russians in the election. And they used that to open a file because Papadopoulos was talking about Hillary and the Russians. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And they opened an investigation. Remember, this is back in early 2016 now. In truth, the USIC intel community asked the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, Five Eyes is US, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, intelligence alliance to surveil Trump's associates and share the intel that they acquired. They were, you know, why they did that? Because they couldn't do it lawfully, so they asked their intel compatriots to do it. They asked the intel community from Australia, from New Zealand, from the UK, from Canada to do it because we couldn't lawfully do it. That's exactly what happened. Say sources close to House Permanent Select Committee on Intel investigation. The Five Eyes nations are, of course, I already named them, and New Zealand. The CIA had compiled a list of 26 Trump associates to target in the intel operation. After Public and Racket, those are two publications, had been told that President Barack Obama, CIA Director John Brennan, had identified 26 Trump associates for the Five Eyes target. A source confirmed that the intel community had identified them as people to bump or make contact with or manipulate. They were targets of our own IC and law enforcement, targets for collection and misinformation. Unknown details about the FBI's investigation of the Trump campaign and raw intelligence related to the IC's and surveillance of the Trump campaign are in a 10-inch binder that Trump ordered to be declassified at the very end of his term. Aaron, can you look into that declassification?
Yeah, I don't see anything.
It's not there. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, because nobody did it.
Yeah.
It never actually happened. So there's the genesis. It's a very rough genesis. It's not the actual genesis. It goes before that. But that's really how it began. And then you add the Steele dossier to it. And then you add the fake intel report to it. These are serious, felonious, seditious, treasonous crimes. Go next for me. Clip keeper, Trump was right again. Play for me.
Mr. Trump tweeted this last night. The intelligence briefing on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange.
CIA Director John Brennan defended U.S. intelligence, saying the president-elect should wait before drawing his own conclusions on Russian hacking.
I would suggest to individuals who have not yet seen the report, who have not yet been briefed on it, that they wait and see what it is that the intelligence community is putting forward.
CBS News has learned the presidential briefing on Russian hacking is not yet finalized by the intelligence community, but is nearing completion. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, whose website was at the center of the election leaks against Hillary Clinton, last night denied any ties to the Kremlin.
Our source is not the Russian government. And it is not a state party.
WikiLeaks, the organization that produced these leaks about the Democrats in the election, founded by Julian Assange, he told me in an interview last fall, he reiterated just in the last couple of days, that WikiLeaks did not get this information from the Russians or from any state actor. So how does that square with what you're saying?
Well, he's not exactly a bastion of truth and integrity.
But Brennan is. I mean, Brennan does absolutely nothing but lie. So there you have it. And you can see the timeline in there because you have it in very early 2017. After you had the December 7th meeting, where Hussein did not like the intel assessment that the election was not interfered with. And then he asked for everybody to change it. And it was reread. They put in a new intel assessment by December 16th. That right there. That interview was like, I think it was January 4th of 2017. And you have Trump already knowing by this time, Trump already knew that he was wiretapped via Carter Page, the one hop rule. He already knew that. So Trump was like, I want to know. And what does Brennan say? We all need to just wait. You know, because he's the reasonable one in the room. He's the adult. And he is the one that knows. I mean, think about this. He is on. This stuff amazes me because I would be so scared of God. Like, I mean, a lightning bolt's coming to get me. I mean, seriously. Because again, big difference between people who sin all the time and the wicked. The wicked try to hurt people and try to speak against God. Two different things. And that's what Brennan is. He's a wicked person, not just a sinner. Wicked. Both go to hell. But while you're on earth, God's attention is on the wicked. But anyway, so Brennan is telling everybody, you know, wait, wait, you know, so they can put together even more evidence. And all the while, right now, they are forming this entire collusion hoax. While Brennan says, wait, and then I forgot about the DNC hack. To this day, every Democrat says the Russians hacked the DNC. It was Julian Assange. And he says it publicly. I mean, and nobody, as a Democrat, I mean, do you have no self-respect? I mean, absolutely, whether it's Charlottesville, good people on both sides, and you continue to believe those stupid lies over and over again. I mean, you have people, I'm not going to get to it tonight, like Roseanne Barr, who watched her sister die of the vaccination while the family stood around going, it's not the vaccination. Perfectly healthy and then dies of the vaccination. And I just stand around and deny it. I just can't imagine living like that. I really can't. All right, Johnny Say Pete video, must watch. It's on PBD podcast. John Caracal tells, I just have to deep dive Brennan for just a minute. John Caracal tells a story he's never told publicly, the fascinating journey of John Brennan's ascension to the head of the CIA. 1 minute, 10-second video. Play for me.
And John Brennan used to do this, the Tuesday morning kill list. Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm. No.
He would meet at the White House with CIA reps every Tuesday morning, and they would come up with a list of people to be killed that week.
John Brennan had a Tuesday morning meeting to go through with CIA who they're going to kill that week?
Yeah.
What an interesting meeting.
Yeah. The Tuesday morning kill list meeting.
Seriously?
Yeah. I think it was first reported in the Boston Globe.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
So that's a New Yorker.
The New Yorker.
American government can decide whom to torture. Sam Brennan is a President Obama nominee, Director of General Intelligence. Last time the name came up on Twitter, I didn't get it because he seemed so close to the torture program perpetrated while he was senior official of CIA. If he was as great a distance, it's only because the time passed. Was it Brennan? Tony, the questions about those years.
There it is.
The kill list.
One of them is crafting the president's kill list and then taking it to him for final approval. So they come up with a list of names. Obama would sign it, and then Global Resources and Special Activities would send their teams out, kill people, come home, wait for the next Tuesday meeting.
Well, how would this guy know? Because he was a CIA agent and spent 3 years in prison for saying these things. That's why. For coming out and publicly saying that we are, in fact, waterboarding and torturing. Then he spent 3 years in prison. People don't get it. I don't get it. I've never been seriously persecuted. I really have never been seriously persecuted. I've been banned off social media, things like that. It's nothing. This guy spent 3 years in prison for doing nothing but exposing the fact that we were, in fact, waterboarding people. And that was under George W. Bush. And then it was Brennan who came after him for the waterboarding that he publicly exposed, and Brennan went after him because they never liked each other in the CIA. That's who this guy is. This is a CIA agent. He knows there was a Tuesday morning kill list meeting where they came up with a kill list and brought it to Obama, and Obama signed off on it to kill people. Drone strikes, everything else. Well, you're like, some people might think, not this audience, but I mean a lot of people, they'll be like, well, this is the CIA is an intel agency for the United States public interest. That is absolutely incorrect. The CIA, and this is a symbiote, circle bleep symbiote, so you have to kind of just follow the circle. But the CIA is does not protect the interest of the public, the interest of the citizenry of the United States. They protect global corporate interests. Some of those companies are in the United States. That's what they protect. You're like, well, yeah, but global companies give us jobs. Well, the thing is, sometimes they do, most of the time they don't. But even if they did, you're talking about Zuckerberg. You're talking about Bezos. These are the ones that are protected. Davos crowd. These are the ones that are protected by the CIA. And what happens is they go run ops for these corporations, not for the interest of the United States of America, not for the interest of the public in the United States, citizenry of the United States. Nothing for us. They run these ops to protect corporate interests, and then they all get jobs once they leave the CIA in those various corporations on their boards and or just employees, whatever, multi-million-dollar contracts, multi-million-dollar jobs. That's all that our country's about currently, just so you know. That is it. NGOs, a lot of it's NGOs. USAID was actually formed not to be a cutout for the CIA. It was actually formed to do what it says. Agency for International Development, then it was used as a cutout for the CIA to do. And USAID officials come out and publicly said, we do what the CIA can't do. That's the USAID that all Democrats want to keep. And we're all crying about, outside the USAID, crying about, it closing. So we just all need to understand. This is not about, Bunker Hill. It's not about Washington Monument. It's not about George Washington. That's all gone right now. I'm not saying it can't be restored. But it's all a fraud. All of our money goes to NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats. These NGOs are the corporations oftentimes. And you're like, no, they're separate, but a lot of these corporations were started via NGO money. As you've heard me say on probably 5 podcasts, J.B. Pritzker is over 29 NGOs, and he's a multi-billionaire that owns Hyatt. What happened first, chicken or the egg? Did he become a billionaire and then run NGOs, or did he become a billionaire via the NGOs? And I'm here to tell you that I just believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he became a billionaire from taxpayer money. Because he is part of the favored class that will say what they want him to say. He'll butcher the unborn. He'll lop off penises, testicles, and breasts. Eventually kill Christians. He's all fine with it. So he gets to be the favored few. And that's all the CIA enforces, is the favored few. That's it. People like, we look at the movies and Jack Ryan, and that's all fake. I know you don't need to hear that that's fake. Patriot Games, it's all fake. They're not there for altruistic purposes. They're there to protect corporate interests that give them and their friends jobs. The chosen, what they call elites, they're certainly not elites, but they call themselves elites. Clipkeeper video, the making of fake news. Here is how it's propagandized. Play it for me.
With respect to some of the contacts that you've referred to between Russia and Trump campaign officials, are you aware of any of those U.S. persons who had contacts with Russia either making false statements about those contacts or failing to disclose those contacts?
I think that's something that we can pursue in closed session.
So the Russians may be really good at drafting Americans into their schemes against the United States. But once Americans are involved in those schemes and they start lying about that fact, concealing that fact, well, then that concealment, you know, takes it into a closed session situation. So remarkable testimony today from the former CIA director.
Oh, so let's pull up the list. Aaron, you can pull up the list of all of the Trump administration and Trump staffers that were convicted of lying under oath about Russia. Aaron's typing.
Nope.
None. No. Okay, so I mean, see, Rachel Maddow, once again, bold-faced liar. Disgusting, lesbian, bold-faced liar. That's who she is. So you saw how that works there. So you have Brennan asked a point-blank question from Swallow as well. So he's asked, do you have any evidence that any Trump staffer lied about their connections to Russians in reference to the campaign? Now, first of all, there were no connections to Russians with campaign staffers or any member of the Trump administration. There was none. Zero. So the lie that Brennan is about to lie, the lie that Brennan is about to tell is about the originating lie that Swalwell just told. So you got a lie supporting another lie, because there never was any Trump officials meeting with Russia. That never happened. There was no Russian, and again, nobody's bold enough to say this, there was no Russian interference at all in the 2016 election with the exception of $200,000. That's the end of it. That's it. And it was not spent on Donald Trump. $100,000 on Hillary, $100,000 on Donald Trump. That was it. That's it. There was no interference. We need disgusting Republicans, because they won't be accepted if they don't say the party line. And by party line, I don't mean Republican line. I mean the establishment swamp line of, we all know the Russians interfered in the 2016 election. They didn't. They didn't at all. It doesn't mean that I'm a Putin sycophant. It means that it didn't happen. So you have Brennan answering Swallowwell's lie of, do you have any evidence that Trump officials lied about their contacts with Russian officials? There were no contacts to lie about. And Brennan says, we'll talk about that in closed session. Okay, why is it that we've seen no arrest from these Trump officials lying about their contacts with Russians that they never had? It really is that way. COVID's that way. Same thing. 99.9% survivable virus. There's no reason to ever, there was never a reason to close off air travel to China. Fly it in. It's already here. Fly it in. Who cares? There was never a reason. Never. I know somebody who died of COVID. Are you sure? Did they die of COVID? Give me their medical history. I'd love to see that they died of COVID. They've never been able to prove one time that one child has ever died of COVID. Not one. And they had their schools closed for 2 years. Not one child has ever been proven to die of COVID. Not one. And we have no excess deaths. So nobody died of COVID. Nobody. Statistically speaking, nobody died of COVID. But yet, for 5 years, almost five, 4 years, 4 years for sure, of 15 days to flatten the curve. That's what we were fed. And it's the exact same thing here. Same thing with climate change and everything. Same thing with Putin being the new Hitler. With Putin wanting to take Ukraine's just the first step, Aaron. It's just the first step. And then they're going to invade Poland. Oh, yeah, he's going to invade Poland. He's never shown it, you know, there's no deep dive into why he went into Ukraine, nothing. Just, is Slava Ukraine, Russia good, Russia bad, Ukraine good. They're both bad. And Ukraine's worse than Russia. All right, here's another one. Just how the media works it. The storm has arrived video. I can't stop laughing how hilarious it is to watch these criminals squirm about finding out that Brennan and Comey are under investigation. Here's Mark Elias, who started the entire thing with Perkins Coie. Play for me.
We predicted, you and I and others, that we were going to get to this moment. And the question is, what do we do? And the question of what we do is multifaceted. The first question is, what do we do? Do we retreat and hide in the corner? So I'm on TV today, not hiding in the corner. I'm not retreating. I'm saying I'm going to stand up and fight. And Donald Trump won't intimidate me by going back to this 2016 stuff. And that's one thing. But the other thing we've talked about is, what do large institutions do? You know, what do civil society groups do? What does the media do? And I am imploring, like, honestly, I'm just imploring the media, do not report this as a legitimate investigation. Do not report this as they're opening a investigation into John Brennan. We will see where it goes. Report this as the misuse, the abuse, the authoritarian takeover of the Department of Justice. That should be the headline. The headline should be, in a misuse and abuse of the power of the executive branch, Donald Trump has asked his Department of Justice to open a bogus investigation into John Brennan.
And just remember who this guy is. I mean, this is a guy, this is Mark Elias from Berkus Coie, hired by the DNC, hired by the Clinton campaign to then hire Fusion GPS, who hired Christopher Steele, who hired Igor Danchenko, and used open source data on Google to compile the collusion hoax narrative Steele dossier. That's who this man is. And Aaron noticed it behind. I didn't notice it. Thanks for enraging me, Aaron. That right behind, he has a placard that says Democracy Defender. This is a man who goes around the country trying to make elections fraudulent by opening them up to illegals. That's all that he does. Goes around the country espousing the principle of illegals voting in elections, people who are not even citizens of the United States. That's what he does. And he's a democracy defender. I just have to show you this because it's interesting. It's just more about the CIA. This one, Gina Haspel, because this is what always happens. And unless Trump changes course on this, to some degree he already has, about who he hires, nothing's ever going to change. Nothing's going to change. When he, like, you know, he gets rid of the people, you know, the, I mean, he already got rid of Brennan, but the people, the Brennan-esque people, and then they bring in someone like, Aaron, if you could side by side that, they bring in somebody like Gina Haspel. Okay, and they're like, she's a Republican. None of that matters. I'm sorry if this bursts people's bubble. None of it matters. Republican, Democrat, it is this. And you're like, well, you're a preacher. That's why you say it. True, but it's what the Bible says is true. Everything else, like, God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3:4. So all that matters is Christ versus Antichrist. Holy Ghost versus Spirit of the Antichrist. That's it. That's all that really actually exists. That's it. So that's why I don't put great hopes into people. I will hold them that they need to follow the Holy Ghost, even if they don't know to follow it, but that's what we vote for. So here you have, she ends up in the CIA, this is Gina Haspel, ends up as Trump's CIA director, and listen to what she does. Play it for me.
How do you feel about Gina?
You know, I wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post when her appointment as director was announced, and I said, in the halls at the CIA, we used to call her Bloody Gina Haspel, because she went out to the secret site to observe the torture just for the kick of watching the torture.
Get out of here.
She was 1,000% pro-torture. And the other thing is, you know, we talk a lot nowadays about the deep state. She was the definition of the deep state.
Wow.
She was 30-plus years at the CIA. Like, wouldn't you want an outsider to be the adult in the room?
So you got a fetish person. When we actually find out how disgusting the United States is. You're like, Tom, don't you love America? I love America, okay? But it's corrupted. It's run by the globalists. It's run by the CCP. It's run by a bunch of reprobates, including Gina Haspel, who goes off and she wants to get off on watching people get tortured. She went out of her way to watch this. Who would do that? Who would go out of their way as this little secretary-esque CIA deputy director, then director? You go, and get off on watching people get tortured. That's who these, that's who these people are. I mean, again, I watch the Tour de France all the time. I love watching that. And that you had Macron on there over the weekend. I'm like, obviously married to a man. You look at Chuck Schumer's wife. I don't think so. He looks just like all those transgender videos we play in the post game, just like it. And then of course, Big Mike. I'm telling you, I mean, what we actually find out when we get to heaven, it'll be unbelievable. Aaron, give me that data point on Gina Haspel.
Yeah, she was appointed as Director of National Clandestine Service by Barack Obama in 2013. So why would you pick her?
So she, right, she's a spy chief for the Democrats to do Democratic Party ops. But when Democrats take office, when they take whatever the office is, whether it's an elected office or whether it's an appointment, they stay virulent Democrats. Every single, even if they have a Republican in front of their name, they might have a, like James Comey claims to be a Republican. He's never voted Republican one day in his life. Do we honestly believe that Dick Cheney ever voted for a Republican? Honestly? Or Pence? Do we honestly believe they ever did? Not absolutely. Or Herbert Walker Bush or George W. Bush? They have never voted for a Republican, ever. They are simply placeholders so that legitimate Republicans can have those seats, whatever seat they occupy. So you're thinking about this. You have a woman that's basically appointed as the clandestine spy chief under Obama, and somebody goes to Trump and says, hey, you know who'd be a great CIA director? Obama's clandestine spy chief. And that's exactly what happened. These were the people that were overseeing the 2020 election that said there was no, that the 2020 election was not breached, and there was no evidence of election interference, no evidence of election fraud. They have to show you this. So they send out the media to espouse the bull-faced lie. And then they send out the politicians. May's video, this clip is amazing. If future generations study the fake news and how it operated, they should start with this clip. Two May's videos in a row. We're going to play the two in a row, guys. This May's video and the next one right in a row. They roll out the media, then they roll out the politicians. Play for me.
Reporting tonight, the Washington Post says the president still doesn't accept evidence that Russia interfered and supported him in the election. And those around him know he gets agitated when he even hears about it. The Post spoke with current and former officials who say that his daily briefing is often structured to avoid upsetting him with Russian-related intel only in the written brief and not brought up in person. I talked about that with CNN senior political analyst David Gergen, who was an advisor to Presidents Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton. David, I mean, according to the Washington Post, the idea that the president doesn't even want to hear intelligence about Russia's meddling in the election is a stunning thing, and that briefers have to kind of figure out a workaround is really eye-opening.
It's unique, as far as I can tell, in all of American history. It's an alarming report, Anderson, partly because the Washington Post has interviewed more than 50 people, so it's built up a lot of background and it's a more solidly built report. But what comes out of it is the president, because of his personal insecurities, not wanting to have his election diminished or discredited in some way, if he accepts the conclusion of his intelligence agencies that the Russians meddled, he thinks that's somehow going to diminish him, and he feels very uncomfortable about that, so he pushes it off.
This is something which the entire intelligence community has said, you know, is concerned about. General Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA, says it's the political equivalent, the Russian meddling is the political equivalent of 9/11.
Yes. The meddling itself constituted a direct threat to American democracy, and that we are not cracking down on it as we should, and we're further at risk in future elections.
Well, what it does also is, for a president who's so obsessed with winning, it allows the Russians to win.
Their investigation concluded in their official report, the majority report, the Republican report, saying no collusion.
Right.
Where are you guys?
Our investigation is still open, and we will go wherever the facts take us.
Okay. So are there things you know? Hold on. Yeah. Are there things that you know that you can't tell us?
Yes.
That you'd like to tell us?
Absolutely.
Are they good?
I.
So, I mean, let's all just, you know, again, I'm a jilted lover. Like, I've been kicked out, you know, of the condo, used and abused, kicked out of the limo. But I'm still very glad that Donald Trump is president over that, just simply on that laugh alone. But you hear what she said, that she just bold-faced lies. Is there anything in that report, that intel briefing, that you would like to tell us that is just absolutely, you know, incendiary? Yes. What was it? Aaron, can you pull that up?
No.
Oh, there's it.
No.
I'm just like, if it was me, see, I get held accountable for everything. If I say one thing wrong, I'm held accountable.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing, I'm held accountable. I'll hear it in the chat. I'll hear it from my staff here at the church. I'll hear it certainly from my wife. And I'm like, these people, they lie every single day of their lives, and nobody asks them for a retraction. Not one. Speaking of liars, go to the next one for me. Let's do a little Trump deep dive here real quick. What's going on in the Trump administration itself? Breaking: Fed Chair Jerome Powell referred to DOJ for perjury over... This is truly like, I don't even know how to comprehend this. I honestly don't know. I don't know what a stadium costs to build now, but $2.5 billion renovation. That's not even building the building. I mean, you ever, like, I don't know if any of you ever watch, like, Grammys or Academy Awards. I don't. I can't stand people celebrating each other. You know, Aaron, can you pull up all the dates of all of our pastor appreciation days here at Foundation Church?
Oh, yeah. Hang on just a second. Okay, oh, we've had none.
We've had none. You know why? Because I don't celebrate myself. Because I'm no more important than Brent. I'm no more important than Aaron or you or anybody else because I pastor the church. Yes, I'm in charge when I'm here, and people certainly know that I'm in charge. Believe me. Aaron, give me a believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me. Okay, they know. But I'm no better than anybody else. I don't elevate myself Lord over people. But these people endlessly celebrate themselves. Explain to me a $2.5 billion renovation to the Eccles building. That's the building for the Fed. How does anybody spend $2.6 billion? Not even on new construction, but a new, yeah, leave that up, Aaron. But a new, oh my word. I knew it was that and I was afraid to say it.
Yeah.
Aaron's sending me information. I'm gonna read this to you. I'm wondering, how is it that you could even possibly come up with where to spend, how to spend $2.6 billion on one building? Aaron just sent it to me, and I'm glad you sent this to me because Aaron and I, you know, we were, for Jonathan Shuttlesworth's board meeting, we were in Vegas 2 years ago together. I was there this year again. And Allegiant Stadium, home of the Raiders, cost $2.3 billion to build the freaking stadium. And Jerome Powell's office cost $2.5 more than the stadium. Sure, I'm glad we got rid of Elon Musk and Doge, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But good, Anna Paulina Luna, who appears to be for real, alleges cost overruns and luxury add-ons hidden in testimony. Time to demand transparency from the Fed. If he lied, he needs to be perp walked. We need to risk it. We need to break the Rubicon, cross the Rubicon, and arrest these people if he perjured himself under oath. I mean, you're like, Tom, can't you ever just get past stuff? Listen, I'm going to warn you on this podcast. I'll warn you if you watch me preach. I don't get past anything. I get stuck on it. I muse on it because how in the world do we as Americans put up with the fact that this building costs $2.5 billion? And by the way, that's taxpayer dollars and it's a private institution.
Yeah.
Can anybody explain that to me? I would just love for somebody to explain, because the bottom line is George Carlin. It's a party. It's an endless spend fest, drunk fest, trans fest, adultery fest, fornication fest, drug fest, alcohol fest in the bar inside the Capitol that you and I pay to stock. And you and I are invited to the party. I wouldn't want to be invited to a party with this little perv. I'm just saying that $2.5 billion when Allegiant Stadium, you ever seen Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas? It's the best stadium in the NFL right now. It cost $2.3 billion. He spent more on renovating the Eccles building, the home of the Fed. Tom, get past it. All right, I'm going to get past it. Look at this one. Go to the next one. Another Dutch tweet. Breaking: Microsoft to stop using Chinese engineers to maintain critical Pentagon systems. How? I mean, did we hire Nazis to fly bombing missions in World War II? I mean, how does this even happen? And this is the greatness of Trump, I say as the jilted lover. This is the greatness of Trump. At least he's doing it. At least he's doing something. This has been going on for decades. You have our number one geopolitical military threat actually in charge of maintaining critical Pentagon systems. It's not ineptitude. It's treason.
Right.
It's not, you know what, these people, they just, they're out of their element. They don't know what they're doing. That's the case too. But this is absolute treason. Systems after a ProPublica expose raised security alarms. You think so? I mean, did we have back in, because I was raised in the Cold War, the 70s and 80s. We had no Russians operating security systems inside of the Pentagon.
Right.
And I can flat out tell you that China, with 1.4 billion people, and they're about to go into economic collapse, by the way, and their societal collapse, and population collapse because they killed all the girls. So they're about that. That'd be a fun place to live, wouldn't it? Let's kill all the women. That's great. Now what do you do? I'll leave that to everybody's imagination. And become a Democrat is what you'd be doing.
Yeah.
And start becoming a receiver. Or a strap-on guy, one of the two. But anyway, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordered a review exposing potential risks. You think so, Pete? I love Pete. I'm just saying. You think so? You think it could be potential risks when your number one geopolitical threat is in charge of maintaining critical Pentagon systems? I mean, it's beyond stupid. It's, I don't even know what to say. I've never been in this realm. This realm began for me in March of 2020. I've never seen it. I drive around Inglewood, Florida, Northport, Florida, and I see churches that are closed because allegedly there's an outbreak of the disease when we're told to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and all the churches close. I mean, I honestly just don't understand what goes on in people's heads. I honestly don't get it. Here's some good news. Go to the next one for me. Reagan Reese tweet. New news. The Office of Personnel Management will see roughly one-third of its workforce, which is about 1,000 federal bureaucrats, axed. An official shares with Daily Caller. Most departures were voluntary. 129 positions were eliminated through a reduction of force. Great news right there. Go to the next one for me. Leading report tweet, breaking President Trump releases 230,000 pages of documents on MLK's assassination per DNI Tulsi Gabbard. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. And we'll see what happens with the MLK. That's the one I'm least interested in. It has nothing to do with being a racist. It's just I'm not that interested in it. I am interested in the CIA's involvement in JFK assassination, CIA's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein, and then, you know, and of course, CIA involvement with the collusion hoax. All right, that's good. 10:15. Monthly supporter at D9597. Appreciate you. See you every night, D9597. Appreciate the support. Rumble Rants, those Jesus people, $137. That's a big one. Thank you so much. Nate Dad, $50. Another big one. Thank you guys in the rant. Thank you guys in the chat. Post game's awesome. It's basically all funny and positive. Stick around for the post game. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.